This morning's scripture is John 20, 19 through 31. If you are able, please stand for the reading of a gospel. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
And please be seated. Well, 25 miles northeast of Mosul, Iraq, is the Marmatai Monastery, a monastery from the 4th century that's built on the side of a rugged mountain. Their monastery officials claim to have the alleged index finger of the Apostle Thomas. Now, although John's gospel never says that Thomas actually puts his finger into Thomas's wounds, this has not kept artists from over the years from depicting it. Despite the monastery's claim, this is where it gets dicey, that they own Thomas's actual finger, two other basilicas in the world also claim to own it. Without Thomas's DNA, we may never be able to put our finger on who may be its rightful owner. I had to put that in there. And this is why we rely upon real scientific, tangible proof these days to believe. Speaking of Thomas, this is what Thomas was looking for, tangible proof in our scripture that we read just moments ago. Our scripture lesson today from the 20th chapter of John picks up where we left off last week on Easter Sunday. It is now, at least for the first few lines of it is the Easter evening. And the mood, though, has changed quickly from the elation of Mary Magdalene to the great despair and gloom among the disciples. The scripture tells us that they had locked themselves in behind closed doors in fear. They were fearing most likely that the religious establishment and the political establishment that were aligned in the day would come after them, just like they came after Jesus. But like what had happened to Mary Magdalene that first Easter Sunday, Jesus came through locked doors of the place where he was, and as the scripture said a few moments ago, "Peace be with you." And peace be with you, easy to say, it's easier said than done. And he showed them the wounds in his hands and in his side. And again he said, "My peace I leave with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you." Then he breathed onto them the Holy Spirit. And he commanded them to forgive others' sins as theirs had been forgiven. The problem for Thomas was that he was not with the disciples, and he missed the first opportunity to see that Jesus had risen from the dead. Eventually, the disciples had caught up with them. They tried to explain what they had seen. Jesus appeared to us. He showed us proof. He showed us the nail marks in his hands, and he showed us the wounds in his side. Don't doubt, Thomas, but believe. He showed it. He appeared to us. He showed us proof, all of this. But to Thomas, it was not so fast. Thomas was not going to fall for this news so easily. People just don't rise from the dead every day. And so he was going to have proof. Thomas said, unless I see the nail marks myself, unless I feel the wounds with my hands, I will not believe. It must have been a very difficult week for Thomas and the disciples. And I have to wonder if the disciples who had seen Jesus appear to them before must have been frustrated that they could not get Thomas to believe based on their eyewitness accounts. It happened, Thomas, they probably were saying. Believe us. We saw it with our own eyes. If only we could have posted a picture on Facebook or snapped it, then you would have believed. We can only imagine what that week must have been like for Thomas. Thomas must have kicked himself at being absent and missing his opportunity to see the risen Lord in his midst. To maybe think about how Thomas may have been feeling. Have you ever had somebody when you're feeling down and they come up to you and say, it's just wonderful. I've seen God work here, and everything's just wonderful. And then you're thinking, God, when is my moment? I can imagine if maybe Thomas was feeling this way as well. It took a week, an agonizing week. How our scripture, our scripture says a week later, what that week must have been like. Thomas was with the disciples because Thomas was not going to miss it this time. And when Jesus appeared, he told Thomas, put your finger here. Feel, reach out and touch my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Now, this was the end of Thomas's skepticism. He proclaimed, my Lord and my God. And Jesus told him, you've believed because you have seen me, but blessed are those who have not seen and have come to believe. Our scripture is often used to teach and inspire believers about the benefits of faith. Year after year, this scripture is always on the Sunday after Easter. I always have to feel compelled to point out that often this is done by throwing Thomas under the bus. Thomas is forever branded by Christians at, you guys know, what do we call Thomas? Doubting Thomas. In my opinion, though, he only did what you and I would have done in the same situation. I mean, this all just seems so unbelievable. We live in a world that requires tangible proof be given to us in order to believe something. Our justice system is based on innocent until proven guilty. We don't really believe anything scientifically unless it's proven. In our world today, something can be easily recorded. It can be uploaded. You can take a picture of it. If it, you know how many people say, if it's not on Facebook, it didn't happen. To label Thomas as a doubter, I think, seems to oversimplify the issue. It overlooks the possibility, I think, that really possibly Thomas wanted to believe. And I think the evidence in our scripture today is that he did. I mean, think about it. The last time that you really, really, really wanted something to happen, you may have said, at least I often say, I'm not going to believe it until I see it. You know, I don't say this because I'm skeptical. I say it because I want it to really happen. And I'm not believing it yet. I want to believe it. I'm hoping for it. And I just wonder if maybe Thomas said it in that way. I'm not going to believe this until I see it. He earnestly wanted to believe. It's not that you're doubting. It's just you're saying that you really want something to happen, but you're just preparing yourself that you won't be disappointed. Thomas, I don't think he set out to become a doubter. He may not have even been a skeptical person. I believe that Thomas acted just like you and I would have in any of the other, and all the other disciples have acted in similar circumstances. I mean, it's easy to overlook that all the, really the other disciples were skeptics too. Remember last Sunday when the women came back to tell the disciples, and remember what they thought? They thought they were lying. They said it was an idle tale. They didn't believe. They were skeptics, very much so. I'll believe it when I see it, Thomas said. When I can actually put my fingers in the wound and touch with tangible evidence. You see, I believe that Thomas was maybe skeptical because, you know, deep down, he really wanted to believe. He was looking. He wanted proof. He was earnestly seeking. He wanted to believe, like the rest of his colleagues, that Jesus keeps his promises, that he had risen from the dead, and that he too, like his other peers, could believe that God kept his word. Well, Thomas was blessed enough to get that opportunity to see living proof that Jesus had risen, that he was alive. It was unbelievable. What he said was true, and there was hope for the future because he lives. Well, our scripture today, I think, tells us the other side of Easter, and I'll explain. Today, on the second Sunday of Easter, it's often one of the least attended or lower Sundays of the year. We have the big bang of Easter, and then after that, it's quiet. A week ago, Easter began with joyous hymns and breakfast and upbeat music, and what a wonderful day that was here. The music, just so beautiful. And the Easter egg hunt in here, and all the kids with their basket. What a wonderful day that was. This Sunday, the Easter eggs and the baskets have been put away. This Sunday, the scripture isn't about a wonderful discovery about Mary Magdalene, that Jesus was right next to her, but instead it's Thomas and his struggle with doubt and skepticism and the possibility that maybe God would not appear to him as God appeared to everyone else. Today, on this side of Easter, the flip side, we see how it wasn't just Thomas, but really all of the disciples were very fearful in some way or another that even though they had already seen Jesus who had risen. In fact, all of the disciples were skeptics. They had seen Jesus walk through the locked doors and breathe on them, and still a week later, they were in fear. They were still in fear after they had seen Jesus. On this side of Easter this morning, Thomas shows us more of a real-life reaction, I think. He shows us really a mirror image of what you and I often experience in our own walk with Jesus. Because when we're honest, we often experience doubt and skepticism ourselves. We've long been taught to believe that Jesus will bring us hope and peace, but sometimes in times of our lives, especially those that are difficult, we often wonder, will he come through this time on his promises? Many of us have heard personal testimonies from others about how God worked a miracle in their lives, and we often wonder if God will do the same thing for each of us. On this side of Easter, we rejoice that Christ had risen from the tomb, but you and I still struggle with death and pain and all sorts of struggles and challenges ourselves. It seems like if we were to go around the room this morning, all of us are probably dealing with something very heavy. It seems like everyone is struggling with something and trying to navigate a particular issue or situation or something in our lives, and we're longing for and looking for and the presence of God in our lives. And sometimes things are joyful and we say, yeah, God is working in our midst. And at other times we're navigating, we're wondering, we're skeptical. God, is God going to work in this moment? Just like Thomas, we want it. We believe that God will work in our lives, but still we just can't help but wonder and have some skepticism when the answers aren't there with us yet. But Jesus broke through the locked doors for the disciples, and he does the same thing for each of us. Thomas shows us that it's a miracle when the resurrection of Jesus Christ becomes real to us, when it makes a difference in our lives, when our lives are changed by a relationship with Jesus. Thomas reminds us that God loves us so much that he did not just raise from the dead, but appears to us despite the barriers that we or our world has imposed. Jesus may not come through a locked door physically, but he often comes into hearts that were locked to his love before. Jesus enters prisons or changes even the most hardened heart. And you may not have felt Jesus' wounds, but it is a miracle when Jesus helps us overcome our own wounds and hurts. Jesus shows us, just like Jesus showed Thomas, proof of his presence. when we once doubted and once we were once skeptical, but now we believe and have life in his name. We often see Jesus among us and through others. When he first appeared to the disciples that first Easter evening, he breathed onto them the Holy Spirit. He commanded them to forgive others as they had been forgiven. How good it must have felt to be forgiven by Jesus. And like a ripple effect, Jesus would be made known to others when they too forgave others for the wrongs that were committed to them. The miracle of Easter happens every time we are afforded grace and love and forgiveness, and we share it with others with whom we are around. Well, I'm not sure if they ever found proof that those index fingers belong to Thomas yet, but I do believe that we see proof of God working around us if we but seek and watch him diligently. We can rest assured that we like Thomas, that God appears to us. And when we have doubt that crowds out hope, Jesus will go through locked doors and hearts to reach us. You see, just as much as we have made this scripture to be about Thomas, really, I believe it's actually about Jesus. How Jesus loves us enough to come to us. Jesus seeks us out and will never let us go. And as he came to the disciples over and over again after Easter to prove them that he does keep his promises, so God does the same thing for us in a plethora of ways. I think the challenge for us this morning, whatever we are going through today, is to keep seeking, to keep looking, keep watching, keep praying. Keep praying that God will show you the way. I believe in these one-line prayers. God, show us the way. Another prayer is, God, intervene. God, reach into my life. God, pave a way. It can just be a simple prayer that you pray over and over again, and I have seen it work in my life. I am seeing it work in my life. And I think the challenge for us is to don't give up seeking diligently and letting God navigate you through this path. You know, I think the challenge oftentimes is that we don't recognize God in our midst. Often we're involved with ourselves or our situation or we think that maybe God is going to come to us in a certain particular way or we're hoping for it. You see, remember how Mary Magdalene mistook Jesus for the gardener? I don't know, you know, what he looked, maybe he looked like death or what, but the disciples, the disciples didn't seem to recognize Jesus until he breathed onto them and he showed them his wounds. It was easy for them to overlook his presence in their midst, but they knew it when they saw him, when he brought them peace, when he brought them the Holy Spirit. Whatever we may be facing this morning, whatever we may be grieving or doubting or skeptical about, we can know that Jesus appears to us when we experience a peace and a love we hadn't felt before, when a way is made, when there's light in the darkness, when something kind is done to us or we have a blessing. And well, we know that the peace that we feel is from God because Jesus promised to give it to us. He said, peace I leave to you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You see, Jesus promises to give us a peace that passes understanding. And he said, I do not give to you what the world gives. Guys, the world gives us anxiousness. The world gives us judgment. The world wants us to think that we aren't good enough. The world wants us to feel that we don't have enough, but Jesus gives us peace and hope and wholeness. And when we experience those things, we've experienced the risen Christ in our midst. When we experience peace and love and grace and fullness and forgiveness that's out of this world, we can know that Christ has appeared to us just as he appeared to Thomas and the other disciples time after time. And guys, it takes time. Because remember, for the disciples, they had to see Jesus over and over again for it to get in their heads. They had to keep seeing Thomas. When did that prove? Life is a journey. Faith is a journey. And it many times happens over and over again. Thank God he's so patient with us. God continues to show us his love and his grace, even time after time when we have to see it over and over again, at least for me. God appears to us in ways that often surprise and startle us. God comes to us in moments when peace is offered and when it's shared with others. God appears to us when friendships are reconciled and when joy is known. God barges through locked doors of our souls when we once again experience a peace that passes understanding. Jesus appears to us every day if we but seek and share his love to all those around us. Well, recently, someone told me just this very simple story recently about how they were dining with a group at a local restaurant, and they were having quite an enjoyable feast. As they prepared to pay for their meal, the server reported to them, well, the meal had been paid for, but to their total joy and shock by somebody else. I mean, have you ever had something even so simple like this happen to you? Just something simple. When you were the recipient of a random, undeserved, extravagant blessing, something that was unbelievable? Can you think of the ways that a way has been made? Can you think of the reconciling words that you have shared this week? Can you think of all the joys and that Christ has made known to you? This is what Easter feels like. This is what Thomas felt. This is what the disciples felt when Jesus patiently but very wonderfully continued to make himself known time after time so that they would believe. It happens every day. Living proof that Jesus enters homes, hearts, restaurants, jails, hospitals, churches, even more with signs of his presence. Some, many unbelievable. Some very small that we often overlook. But may the joy of Easter keep on. And may through whatever we are navigating like Thomas, whatever we're skeptical about, whatever we're nervous about, whatever anxiousness we bring today, keep looking, keep seeking, keep begging and telling God, I'm not going to believe until I see you, and keep looking, and I do firmly believe that God has made a way and that we'll see the presence of Christ among us. And the challenge, I believe, is then to go and share so that the presence of Christ may be known all across the world. Let's pray. Loving God, we just give you thanks that you come to us time after time, that no matter what we are doubting, no matter what we are worried, no matter what we are scared and navigating, you are with us all the way. Lord, break through. Show us your presence. Make a way. We pray this because we trust you. And we know that you love us. And that you are always there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.